They compete hard on the field and play to win. But in real life, they serve a greater purpose.
It's more than a game.
Welcome to Faith on the Field Show with hosts Rob Motti, Doug Horton, and Pastor Kyle Horner on 610 Sports ESPN Radio.
And welcome to Faith on the Field Show, presented by Eastern University on 610 Sports ESPN Radio. I am Rob Motti with Doug Horton and Pastor Kyle Horner. Happy rainy Monday, guys.
Happy rainy day. Yeah, a little humid out there, Rob.
It was humid. My pool's filled with leaves. It's a beautiful day. And, you know, my whole life growing up, people always hated Mondays, and so did I when I went to school. So my whole philosophy around life was to make sure I loved Mondays. And I love every day. Every day is a blessing. But now in the career that I have and in the job that I have, sometimes I work weekends, and you know, it's not like Monday is going to be back to work day. I just worked the Eagles game yesterday, So it's no big deal to me. So I always like look at Mondays and just walk around and see people always kind of down, kind of upset, kind of sad, and then it's raining. And I'm like, oh, Friday will be here soon. Relax, man. It's going to be okay. So, guys, we're going to get topical tonight. And we are going to dive into a subject that dominated headlines for probably 2, 3, 4 days last week. And Carolina Panthers quarterback Cam Newton, the 2015 NFL MVP, made a critical mistake when a female reporter asked him a question about wide receivers running routes. And Cam laughed and said, "It's funny when a female reporter asks about routes." Now, obviously, Cam should have never said something like that. It's wrong. It's perceived as a sexist comment. And Cam eventually realized the error he made. He apologized. He kind of apologized a day later and did it in a tweet, in a video. And it came after he lost an endorsement deal. But then he also, after they played the Detroit Lions on Sunday and they won the game and he played really well, he also explained it a little further, and he had more of an explanation about, more of an apology, really. But of course, because of the age that we live in, the whole thing became monumental news. And people jumped on to condemn Cam Newton. And I want to say this. I think it's funny when men who have said similar things or worse pile on to criticize Cam Newton. But I don't want to talk about the hypocrites in the media. That's an entirely other issue, and I feel that I am well-versed on the subject because I am in the media, and I could do a dissertation on the hypocrisy in the media. But we're here to talk tonight about women. And did you guys see today what an incredibly fantastic job women did today, gathering at the nation's capital, rise up, the call, at the National Mall, prayer, lifting up our country. Remy was watching that, and I was with the kids, and they're having breakfast, and I was moved to tears at one point, just the prayer and the power behind that, and I thought that was incredible to see, and I loved every minute of it. So tonight, we're going to have a very special guest from Team USA Women's Hockey. She is a two-time Olympian getting ready for the Olympic Games in February. Her name is Gigi Marvin, and she plays hockey. She's a forward. So we're going to get her perspective and talk to her about her faith next segment. But before we get into women in sports, women in the workplace, women in the media, women in office jobs, women everywhere, we're also going to talk to Dr. Susanna McMonagle from Eastern University later on in the show and get her perspective as well. But before we do any of that, I want to go back to women in the Bible. So our theme tonight, fellas, is going to be more than rubies.
Very good.
More than rubies. If you're listening and you're going, more than rubies? Proverbs 31:10 says, "Who can find a virtuous wife? She is more precious than rubies." And I love that verse, and I think it applies to not just potential wives. It applies to all women. And I think, ladies, whether you're single, whether you're married, whatever you are, you should always be treated with love, respect, and equality, and never, ever settle for anything less.
That's right.
The greatest man of all, the greatest man, the only sinless man who walked this face of this earth, was Jesus. And he ministered to women. And he treated women with incredible respect. Jesus didn't flatter women. He didn't patronize women. He didn't urge them to be feminine or belittle them for being female. Jesus took women's questions seriously, and in his teachings, in his daily activities, Jesus reached out to women, and he viewed them just as worthy of men of salvation. Gender and ethnicity were completely irrelevant to Jesus and his offer of salvation. And in an era when females were considered inferior to men and they were treated as property, Jesus counted women among his most valued disciples and friends. And there are numerous examples we can cite from the Bible. And Pastor Kyle, when we discussed this, you had several. So if you want, you want to start with the woman at the well, we could start with the adulteress, whichever one we can start with.
I just think, Rob, I think what you just said is so apropos, because Jesus and Paul were two of the greatest liberators of women in history. And it hasn't, in our generation, in our century, in our time, it's actually been painted the other way. And yet you have to understand the cultural constraints that they were working in and how Jesus actually broke every one of those cultural constraints to elevate people. Paul saying in Galatians 3:28, there's neither male nor female, slave or free, is a paradoxical transformation. It's a statement that is foundational for the kingdom of God. And Jesus, you know, in Jesus's day, the Mishnah actually said that a Jewish man could divorce his wife simply if his wife talked to another man in public.
So just a conversation.
Just having a conversation.
Just a hello, how you doing?
Just how you doing, and just catching up.
Can you imagine
that the Pharisees of the time were some of them were called the bruised and the bleeding, because when a woman walked by, they would close their eyes and they would run into things all the time, even just not even to give her that kind of attention or respect. A typical Jewish prayer at the time would be, God, thank you for not making me a Gentile, a woman, or a dog. Oh. So we have to understand that wasn't just the Jewish world. That was the Greek and Roman context as well. So when Jesus has a conversation with the woman at the well, he is shattering social norms. When Jesus sticks up for the adulterous woman, shattering social norms. When Jesus has women as followers of his, we actually see that these women were not just simply supporters of Jesus. Mary sat at his feet in Luke chapter 10. When he calls the unclean woman who had an issue of blood daughter, he brings her into his family. He's breaking social norms at every turn. So, you know, unlike some proponents of social change today who just want to talk about social change, Jesus was actively in his daily life bringing about social change at every level. And we see it even in the early church.
Let's look at that, the example of the Samaritan woman at the well. To understand that, it was an incredibly hot day, right? The disciples Absolutely. Were kind of hungry, and what they did was they left Jesus to go to Chick-fil-A. And Jesus
must not have been Sunday,
that,
yeah, right?
It
had to be like a Saturday or a Friday. So they left Jesus. They're on their way to Chick-fil-A. They didn't even leave him with Gatorade or Diet Coke, nothing. So it's hot. He's thirsty, and he asked the woman at the well for water. And this was a woman who was shunned by society and rejected, but Jesus came to offer her grace.
Yes.
And he comes to offer grace, whether you are, as we've said, man, woman, Gentile, whoever you are, no matter the color of your skin, no matter your ethnicity, no matter your background, no matter what you do for a living, Jesus comes to offer grace to everyone, and it is up to us to accept it.
Rob, it makes me think of all the times you go into Dunkin' Donuts, because I know you enjoy...
He does go in there.
I do enjoy my iced coffee.
He does. No plug for Dunkin' Donuts, but what I think we see sometimes is that we look at different cultures and maybe we think of them less than. And I think that you've had that experience where you've, for whatever reason, whenever you go in there, there's some issue that goes in there. But you've seen people, whether, and we've done shows on it before, whether you're a janitor, whether you're not a VIP, which I know you don't like that term.
Yeah, that term.
Right? But people that are just made to feel inferior, and how do we stand up for them? And I think, you know, Kyle, as you break it down from a cultural standpoint, what women were made to feel like, you know, and I sit here and I listen to you say that, and I think of my four daughters.
Yes.
And I'm just like, oh, as a father, what I wouldn't give to stand up for them at
Absolutely.
That point. But just to realize that at a much deeper level, having my daughters, right?
Well, I mean, you know, you just talked about your daughters. I know, Doug, you take your daughters with you to the house of God every Sunday, and actually see that as a part of your opportunity to speak into their life and shape the framework of their life. But as a woman in Israel, they weren't allowed to go into the synagogue. They weren't allowed. They had their own court outside of the temple. In the synagogue, they had to be behind a veil or in an outer room. They weren't included. So that's when you start talking about the church, when you start talking about Jesus and Paul, including the women, not only into the worship service themselves, but into leadership, into those moments, into the activity of those things.
But I don't think we always look at it, we're like, oh, those are biblical times, so it doesn't necessarily apply here. But then we go and we're looking at a janitor, or we're going to Dunkin' Donuts, we see somebody of a different race, a different culture,
right.
And we still picture
Absolutely.
Them in the same exact
Absolutely,
way.
Yeah.
It's
being
just,
treated as that inferior woman
Absolutely.
Back
Absolutely.
In the Old Testament.
Well, because
times.
We all have bias. And I think that's what Jesus was coming to change all the time. Sometimes we have prejudice, but all of us have bias. Social bias, gender bias. Cultural bias. And I think what you're just talking about, Doug, is so true. I think we have to continue to challenge ourselves not to see others through the filter of our bias.
Well, you broke it down so well, because I think people would look at it, oh, wow, Jesus was just being really nice to that woman.
No.
Like maybe he felt
he was
bad
shattering.
For
them. It's a revolution. He was a revolutionary. Jesus was a revolutionary.
And if you just look at it on the surface level, that's why you wouldn't understand it. You think he's just being nice to somebody.
Correct.
Oh, the woman was thirsty. She was at the well.
Yeah.
You know, she didn't get her Chick-fil-A, and they left her left her there, right? But it was not allowed to be talked to.
Absolutely.
And he would just love on her.
Let me put it in terms that you
especially
that
when
we
you
just
say
talked
daughter.
About.
When you say daughter.
He called
that's awesome
his own family. Let me put it in terms of what we just said, Rob, really quickly. But Jesus actually, by doing that, was positioning himself to lose followers,
yes.
to lose credibility in the circles that many would say he should have been pushing to achieve success in. So he was losing sponsors. He was losing spot, but he did it anyway. Why? Because it was the right thing to do, because he was elevating. Jesus' mentality was to elevate everyone around him, regardless of gender or bias.
And he looked at these women as those desired followers, as desired
Absolutely
sponsors.
Right.
He wanted their endorsement. He wanted the women to follow him, to leave everything behind. It wasn't just an exclusive members-only club for
Absolutely.
Men. Women were welcome to be followers.
The women, he shows up to the first people to see Jesus after the resurrection mm-hmm.
yep.
are women.
Yeah.
Jesus entrusts the first gospel message to a woman to go tell Peter and the brothers that he was risen from the dead. That is the gospel message. And the first part of that was entrusted to a woman. So for us to actually begin to think anything other than Jesus was a liberator of women, an elevator of women, we're missing the message.
You know what the cool thing is, too? And I was talking to my dad driving up to the show today, and just being amazed at the platform that these guys have nowadays. Guys and girls that are in athletics and sports, that they can share their faith, and they actually want to go do that. A lot of guys that we've had on the show, like Carson Wentz, who just looks at his position as a platform to share their
Absolutely.
Faith. And when we have Gigi come on in the next segment, I think it's pretty cool that she actually reached out to us and said, hey, I would love to share my faith if you ever
and
give me the opportunity.
Awesome, wasn't it?
And we say, hey, if you want to share your faith, like, let's do it.
This was right? And it was only a couple weeks ago, and you know, we try and position our show and our theme and everything together at this, and this comes up, and I thought it was just so perfect and a nice opportunity to be topical and getting back to what you were saying, Pastor Kyle, about Jesus and the women at the resurrection. It, you know, Jesus especially showed care and concern for women who were poor, who were oppressed and outcast.
Absolutely.
And as we said, that they were his most faithful followers. So even when the male disciples, right, they
yeah.
desert him, the women are there, and they're
Correct.
Present at the cross.
They're at the cross, yeah.
And I think that says a lot about the loyalty aspect, because, you know, you look at men versus women in relationships, and I always look at unconditional love,
yeah.
right? And we have unconditional love for our children, or we should at least. But how many of us have unconditional love for our wives?
Mm-hmm.
Because it's like, I love you, babe, but
yeah.
What if you did this? Is it unconditional? However, it becomes it's a little hypocritical because you expect unconditional love from your wife. If I do so, I expect to be forgiven. But how quickly do I say to myself, well, if she did this, you know, she ain't going to get away with that, that kind of thing. So these women were incredibly faithful to Christ.
Absolutely.
And you look back at that and you go, that set the foundation or should have set the foundation for all these thousands of years later.
You know, it's interesting, Rob, that you just said about how men don't always look at their wives with unconditional love, and yet that's Ephesians 5. You know, we love the first part of that where it says, wives, submit to your husband, which we've all messed up that understanding tremendously.
Absolutely.
But the very next verse talks about how men, as the head, should be love their wives, agape, unconditionally.
Yes.
But that word head even doesn't even mean authority. It actually means, it's a military term that means the first person in the battle. He wants to be the leader. He wants to be the first person in the fight. So it's not a position where he's a general looking and telling people what to do. And that's what men want to do. Let me tell you what to do. You go do it. It's actually, no, I'm going to be the first in the battle. Follow me. I'm going to set an example of what it looks like. So for Christ, he actually says, look, I set that example for my bride. I'm going to give my life away for her. And husbands, that's what you're meant to do, to be the first in giving your life away to elevate someone else. So even in Christ's example to his bride, we see God's view on women. How do I, as men, we're not there to rule over them. We're actually there to give away everything so that they actually can be elevated into all that God created them to be.
You made me think of a title that for a show that I want to do down the road, and I want to call it Man Up. And when you say Man Up, we always think about tough and macho and being that tough macho guy. But I feel to really man up is to sacrifice everything for the women in your lives. That's what really being a man should be all about. Quickly looking at the adulterous woman that Jesus looked at her with completely unconditional love. When
Absolutely.
Everybody was there and ready to stone her, they conveniently couldn't find the man, right?
Yeah, because they were caught in adultery, but they brought the woman. That was interesting.
They find the woman, but where's the
caught
dude?
Caught is
right?
usually means two.
Exactly. And he says, he who is without sin cast the first stone. But Jesus saw her with completely unconditional love, and nothing that she did in the past mattered. Her sins were completely forgiven. And Doug, you alluded to fatherhood, right? And you have four daughters. I have two daughters. Pastor Kyle, you have a son. So between us, we have six girls and one boy, right? And I think it is so important in today's day and age, in this society, in the way the world is trending, and as scary as you may think it is out there, I think it's important as dads that we raise our daughters the right way, that we empower them to believe that they can achieve whatever it is that they desire, that there's nothing, that the sky is the limit really for them, and instill in them from birth the importance of their value. So I make sure, no matter what I'm doing, a million times a day I'll tell them you're beautiful and I love you.
Yeah.
But I try and make sure every night before they go to sleep, and if I'm at a game, I miss that night and it makes me feel bad about it. But I always say, you are beautiful, and to each one, you are beautiful, you are smart, you are sweet, you are kind, you are amazing, and I'm proud of you, and Daddy loves you, Mommy loves you, and Jesus loves you. And for a while I made them repeat that until... If I now it reaches the point where if I forget one of those, Daddy, what about what about smart? Yes, baby, you're smart too. And I think it is so important that we do that as dads to our daughters, to raise them up that way, so they never find their value in another man's
Absolutely.
Opinion. So they know their value and worth from birth, really, from childhood. So when we come back, guys, we're going to have a conversation with Gigi Marvin. She is an Olympian getting ready to play women's hockey. Can you skate, man? Can you skate?
No, not very good. I mean, yeah.
Skate's
one thing to shoot a puck yeah. on ice skates now.
To skate, to play hockey, I always marveled at hockey players.
Like,
yeah, I could play
They're
baseball,
phenomenal.
I could play football, I could play basketball. I can't go on that ice and do anything. And she does it at such an elite high level
to be
preparing for the Olympics for the third time. So we'll hear from her when we come back. You are listening to Faith on the Field show presented by Eastern University 610 Sports, ESPN Radio.
If you shake hands with difference makers around the world, you'll meet alumni from Eastern University in every profession. Our courageous graduates are CEOs, mayors, social entrepreneurs, and Pennsylvania Teacher of the Year finalists. What makes the difference? Eastern alums have been shaped by a powerful combination of academic excellence, Christian values, and professors who truly care. Join our influential community online in Center City or on the main line. Visit eastern.edu/courage.
Hey, this is Rob Motti. Let's talk about tomorrow for a minute. Chances are, someday, you're going to want to retire. And even though you'll stop working, you'll never want to stop achieving. You'll want to explore new ventures when you retire. You'll want to see and experience new things because you'll finally have the time to do it. But to get there, you'll need a financial strategy. Rick Santella at Morgan Stanley can help. Rick is a financial advisor, and he has more than 35 years of experience. Rick can help you create a strategy based on how you want to live now and once you retire. Rick will work with you and your attorney toward your goals like estate planning and leaving a legacy. And the great thing is, Rick is right here in Philadelphia. To make an appointment with Rick Santella, call 215-854-6018. That's 215-854-6018. Meet with Rick today to talk about your future, because when you stop working, your retirement income is going to have to work for you.
Morgan Stanley Smith Barney, its affiliates, and Morgan Stanley Financial Advisors do not provide tax or legal advice. Investments and services offered through Morgan Stanley Smith Barney LLC, member SIPC.
Medcor's Asthma and Pulmonary Specialists is a privately owned group located in Turnersville and Lynnwood, New Jersey. Online, they are MedcorUSA.com. Dr. Sylvie and his staff can diagnose and treat disorders of the lungs, asthma, especially asthma caused by allergies, COPD, chronic bronchitis, pneumonia, pulmonary hypertension, shortness of breath, and chronic cough. They also treat sleep problems like restless leg syndrome and sleep apnea. Treating sleep apnea has become a huge part of their practice. They have 10 home sleep tests that test for sleep apnea. Testing is recommended if some of the following pertain to you. Someone has told you that you stop breathing while you sleep. You snore loudly and frequently. You wake up choking or gasping. You wake up with headaches, sore throat, or dry mouth. You experience insomnia, unrefreshing sleep, daytime sleepiness or fatigue, difficulty concentrating, memory loss, irritability. You are drowsy while you are driving. You are frequently waking up to use the bathroom. You have a large neck size, 17 inches for men and 16 inches for women. You have a family history of sleep apnea. Call Medcor's Asthma and Pulmonary Specialist at 856-352-6572. That's for their Turnersville office, and 609-788-8953 for their Lynnwood office.
And welcome back to Faith on a Field show presented by Eastern University 610 Sports, ESPN Radio. I'm Rob Motti with Doug Horton and Pastor Kyle Horner. And joining us now, brought to you by Dan Higgins Wood Flooring, it is our pleasure to have Gigi Marvin. She is a forward on the U.S. Olympic women's hockey team, a two-time silver medalist. Gigi, thank you for taking a break from preparing for the February Winter Olympics to join us on Faith on a Field show.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I'm looking forward to joining you guys and just talking about the Lord and in sports.
Well, we appreciate your time. And to get started, Gigi, tell us how you came to Christ, when that happened, and what led you to make that decision.
I grew up, like many, in a Christian household, so I always went to church. And so I remember when I was young, probably second grade, you know, I always knew that there was a God, and it just kind of believed in something greater than myself. And so I accepted Christ into my life, but it wasn't until, and I read the Bible, went to youth group and stuff, but it wasn't until I went to college my freshman year at the University of Minnesota. I was a part of Fellowship of Christian Athletes, and not until then did I literally get kind of discipled and shown what it looks like to live out a relationship with God, look like what it lived out, just be practically apply the Bible. And I think I was still stuck in a mentality of performance, still stuck in a mentality of earning God's love, still stuck in a mentality of just kind of doing, I guess, instead of just being. And so at the U, I learned, I had amazing mentors and people who just really lived out what it meant to love the Lord and just humble servants. And I'm super thankful. And so just each year, God has blessed me with people to just show me how to kind of press more into the Lord versus kind of pursuing the accolades and the affirmation and the worldly desires kind of that, you know, we all get thrown in our face with kind of, so.
That's a little harder, I think, to do for athletes than sometimes the average person, as far as to not get caught up in the world and accolades, because so much is heaped upon you, and you're in the, you know, you were in the Olympics twice, you're getting ready to go back there. Does it make it difficult for you when you're in the spotlight, when you're performing at a high level, to be able to maintain your walk?
It does. It definitely throws you more challenges, but at the same time, I think just kind of like anything in life, the more, like before going into the Olympics, we knew that 4.6 billion people would be watching us, and so we knew the distractions that would come, and so I kind of made sure to ask my friends, my accountability partners, and some mentors to, hey, will you be praying for me? Will you be encouraging me? Like, this is going to be a tough time. There's going to be a lot of media. There's going to be a lot of desire of, you know, the flesh to want to have a lot of, you know, pride. Pride's a huge issue, I know, in my life, and just wanting that accolade from your coaches or the accolades from the media and that affirmation and kind of just the notoriety that comes along with it, with millions and millions of people watching. But I was super thankful for, you know, my support group around me that just continued to remind me of who I was in Christ, and that, you know, I played for an audience of one. I think Carson Wentz talked about that also, and that's kind of just the main theme of, you know, definitely in my life too, where, you know, we don't have to work or seek or try to win approval from other people, but can really allow, you know, rest in the confidence of what God has blessed us with and how He created us and who He made me out to be.
Gigi, you talk about that accountability group and the people that are around you. We talk a lot about iron sharpens iron, and we have talked to a lot of athletes that have a good core of friends, of believers that are on the team with them. And sometimes we talk to athletes and they don't have other believers on the team, and so they're kind of faced with either the chaplain or some outside groups. What's the culture on the U.S. team regarding accountability, people that you can go to? Is it on the team, or do you kind of find that support coming from outside relationships?
Yeah, I'm super thankful. There's for the past 6 years or so, I've been on the team about 11 years now. And for the past 6 years, I've had an amazing other believer she just retired in February. But we have another one who made the team and will be with us. And we've just started our weekly Bible study. So there's definitely another lady on the team that, you know, pursues the Lord and proclaims Jesus and like every day seeks to find out His heart and His intentions and just allow Him to live through her. And so, you know, we have a good group of, there's about two of us, but then, you know, there's a good group of others who are seeking or just kind of, I would say, like, would pray to the Lord and definitely are interested and will pray with us before games and, you know, allow us to have even awesome conversations. And so I'm thankful for what we have on the team, but I have a lot of kind of non-hockey players, I guess, other athletes, but then other friends who are kind of the support group outside that just provide a sounding board or just provide that wisdom and guidance when, I'm personally going through something hard, or just even just to hear testimonies of what the Lord's doing in their life. And so it's a little bit of a mix, but I definitely would say I have more so support on the outside versus the in, but I'm very thankful for the teammate and for going through the Bible studies with us and just kind of providing that day-to-day, you know, accountability within the locker room and on the trips, and just having her presence around is just so encouraging.
Gigi, our show tonight, the theme was sparked by Cam Newton's comments last week to a female reporter. As a female athlete, though, how did you feel when you heard what Cam said?
Yeah, I think it's obviously it's not the right thing to say. It's pretty it's disappointing for sure. And, you know, but I'm not going to hold him to one statement that he makes. I don't think one statement defines all of us. But definitely, I mean, it's disappointing to hear that. I also, I feel for that girl. You know, I have no idea who she is, that woman. And but if she's anything like me, I grew up when I was, you know, I watched football with my grandpa. My grandpa and I would be, like, sitting on the couch. I'd be watching. Chris Carter is my favorite. And so every single time we'd be outside playing catch with my cousins or the neighborhood guys or my grandpa, and I'd be Chris Carter doing the toe line, like, or the sideline grab.
Like, all he does is catch touchdowns.
Right? Oh, he's just amazing. Yeah. And so for me to hear that, it's like, you know what? I know there are so many other women like me who grew up playing football with their grandpa, who grew up playing football with their uncle, their nephew, their brother, and I'm sure they were out there running routes, and, you know, they might not play at an NFL level, but gosh, I for sure appreciate the attention to detail, even a route runner runs. Like, I mean, in our off season when we're training, I mean, we watch some video on the NHL or the NFL players, and just the attention to detail they have when they're running routes, and where's their body? Are they leaning on their front foot, or are they leaning to the inside or the outside? Because that tips off the DB and the CB on where to turn. And so, in our league, also, you have to read body language to know where they're going to anticipate where they're going next. And so, it's just a little bit of obviously, it's disappointing to hear that, because I don't think sport is. Obviously for just men, you know, and whether you play the sport or not, again, I don't think it matters. And I've never played football at a high level, but I'm definitely paid attention to it, and I love watching it, and I think we learn so much from it. And again, it's not on gender. I mean, just the same thing with the fruit of the spirit or kind of the characteristics needed to play football or hockey or anything. It doesn't, just because you're a man, are you really strong, and then a woman's not strong? You know, kind of the same thing. Just because you're a man, you have more knowledge in how to run a route or how to take a face off, or, you know, I don't think so. I think it's if you can play, but obviously if you don't play, there's those out there who are really skilled at the journalist side, like asking the questions, paying attention to detail, getting inside the player. That's what I really appreciate of the journalist, is getting inside the player and providing a storyline to share to the fans and connect the dots between the two.
You're being too kind to journalists. You're being way too.
No.
I'm a journalist, and you're being way too kind to us, Jared. But we appreciate that.
I studied to be one.
I guarantee you know more about hockey than I do.
Yeah, all of us.
Go ahead, Pastor.
Hey, Gigi, you know, I love that you just talked about, you know, being with your grandfather and the influence that family can bring, and how to raise that that future up in someone else. You know, if you were, you know, you've been playing now for quite a few years and have had a lot of successes, some ups and downs in your athletic career. What would you say if you could go back to that little 15-year-old girl or that 18-year-old girl before you went to University of Minnesota, before you came a Gopher and then you went on to success with the U.S. hockey team? What would you say to her? What wisdom could you speak into her life right now?
I would share, and it's really hard. I think it's the simplest thing we are taught and shared with and told, but it's the hardest to grasp. At least it was the hardest for my heart, but like, who you are is perfect. Like, who God created me to be is enough. Like, 100%. Like, and I think, I still was at that point in my life trying to, okay, I got to be 4.0. Oh, I got that, and it's still not enough. Okay, I got to be a 4.4. Got that. Oh, still not enough. Okay, well, I graduated college now, or graduated high school. Well, got to be an All-American. Got that. Not enough. You know, like, all these kind of accomplishments just kind of, you know, not feeling as if I was enough, regardless of how many kind of accolades you receive, whether they're individual or team oriented. And so I think I definitely would just hammer that home, that message. I know it's taken a while to sink in, but it's so true and freeing. You know, the Lord loves us and created us, and, you know, all we have, like, just us, like, it's unconditional. For it is grace alone that you have been saved. And that is a verse that I've had to go to over and over to remind myself and just really you know, root in my foundation, that that's how I operate. I operate out of a place of, you know, it's all by grace. I don't have to earn it. I don't have to win it. And it's all by what the Lord did and not by what I've done. It's his one act that freed me and freed all of us. And so that's probably the simplest, but I know for me it was the hardest to kind of really grasp and get root in my heart.
Amen.
Absolutely.
Gigi, female reporters, obviously they have to overcome certain stereotypes when they're covering athletes in sports, but female athletes obviously have faced many obstacles. Have there been any that were really difficult for you to overcome, and how does your faith guide you through it?
There are a couple different stereotypes. I think obviously one is, you know, oh, it's a rough game. Like, I don't know if girls can play and women can play in such a rough sport. Or another one is, wow, like, I don't think women could even skate or had the athletic ability to. And or just even like the character traits I kind of talked about earlier. And, you know, I think you mentioned it earlier or shared a tweet with me about how the Lord did not give us a spirit of timidity, but one of power, love, and self-discipline. And probably one of my favorite verses is in Exodus 15:3, where it says, the Lord is a warrior. And, you know, it's strength comes not just by physical attributes. To me, strength is like the strength of heart and the strength to speak up for those who have no voice. Strength is to own a mistake and to, instead of kind of just like let it slide, strength is to turn the other cheek when someone's just kind of name calling you. And so for me, it was kind of those things of, wow, like, you're a woman playing sports, like, that's probably not that
imagine
cool
that right, yeah, right. How about that?
Yeah. And so for me, it's like, you know what, the same exact characteristics that I see, I loved Chris Carter growing up, I loved Adrian Peterson, I love the attention to detail and the, you know, I'm talking all NFL right now, but like, I love the attention to detail like Peyton Manning brought to his like the preparation, yes. Oh my gosh, it's unbelievable. And I will say this, we were talking about the other day actually in our locker room that the NFL studies more video than I think any other sport that I've heard of, just like the continued study. And so, I mean, that's a simple characteristic that, you know what, like my teammates embody, you know, just the diligence, the preparation, the unwillingness to kind of give in and give up. And so for me, it's kind of that constant thing of, wow, like, again, the outside world is saying, looking at a woman, and just because you're a woman, you're AKA, you're not good enough. And, you know, the Lord is constantly, and just by going to him and resting my, kind of wrestling those questions and being like, Lord, like, this is what the world says. Is that true? And, you know, every time God is just like, no, you're set apart, you're chosen, you're treasured, you're, and you have all these qualities because my Holy Spirit is in you. You are patient, you are kind, you are generous, and that's who it is with all, you know, because we have the Holy Spirit living within us, and he creates us anew. So those are probably the biggest significant ones of not kind of people being shell-shocked of, wow, you guys are pretty strong, or you guys can skate, or how do you even women play sports, kind of, and it's just kind of one of those things where the Lord is.
Isn't it mind-blowing that mentality still exists? That
yeah, right.
It really blows my mind that somebody in this day and age, in 2017, would actually sit there and go, wow, women really play sports, or you can play hockey, or you can skate. But God bless you for doing it and for doing it at such a high level. That is Gigi Marvin. She is a Team USA Olympic women's hockey player, spending a few minutes with us on Faith on the Field show, brought to you by Dan Higgins Wood Flooring. Gigi, we really appreciate your time. Thank you so much for joining us. And now I have a reason to watch the Olympics in February.
That's right.
Absolutely.
so with rooting interest.
Thank you so much. And we will talk to you down the line.
Take care.
Thank you.
And I was never really into watching Olympics. I like hot winter hockey. I like the winter sports and I like basketball. But I'm going to pay attention now to Team USA women's hockey team for sure.
I hope so. You know, that's kind of cool because you can make a little relationship with somebody and you get behind them and you like them more than what's just on the ice.
I want to. Gigi talked a little bit about women and, you know, you are enough. What you are is you are enough. And then trying to, you have a 4.0 and you're trying to get higher. Or whatever you accomplish, trying to accomplish some more. And Doug, you know Shayna Rajan?
Rajan, yes.
Rajan, right?
Mm-hmm. She was at Eastern University.
And she also, she Didn't she win our Carson Wentz?
She won the VIP drawing
to the event we had at Eastern University. She was the winner, right?
She was the winner, yep.
Okay. So she, we're Facebook friends, and she posted, as I come across this last night, and I thought it was so powerful, and I asked Shayna if I could share it. Mm-hmm. And she wrote this, and it's from her heart, and she says she's tired of being, she's writing it as a woman, saying she's tired of being told she's not good enough. She's tired of being told that no one wants her, because she should be told that the only person who wants her that matters is the God that made her, and he made her to fulfill his purpose in her life, and that purpose isn't to look perfect and get married. She's tired of being told that her biggest goal in life is getting married, when it should be her personal growth in her faith, in her career, and in her personal life. She's tired of her success being measured by the size of her waistline. Wow. And the potential ring on her finger, when Wow. her success should be measured by the goals she has set for herself. She's just tired of being told she's not enough, because a woman's beauty is made up of more than just her looks. A woman's beauty comes from the strength behind her smile when the world is crashing down around her. A woman's beauty comes from the perseverance she has when she gets knocked down, but she has no choice but to get back up. A woman's beauty comes from the pure, unadulterated love she gives not only to her family, but to a stranger who needs her. A woman's beauty comes from her innate ability to be a caregiver. A woman's beauty comes from within herself. A woman's beauty is whatever she wants it to be, because a woman's beauty is more than what you see. It's incredibly
powerful. I love
powerful.
That,
amen. That's
and,
powerful.
And there's nothing more than we can say to that than amen. And what an incredible job Shayna did sharing that on Facebook. We all ought to share it and make sure that we instill that in our daughters and share it with everyone that we know, because you are more than everything else that the world tells you
well
you
done,
are.
Well done, Shayna. Well done.
That is outstanding. When we come back, we are going to have Dr. Susan McMonagle on from Eastern University, and we'll talk to her. You are listening to Faith on the Field Show, presented by Eastern University on 610 Sports, ESPN Radio.
Dan Higgins Wood Flooring is the number one retailer of wood flooring in South Jersey. They have the best and most popular brands, including Bruce, Armstrong, Mirage, Johnson, Mercier, and more. Dan Higgins Wood Flooring has better pricing and service for flooring than the big box stores. Plus, you would be supporting a local business in the community since 1985. Dan Higgins Wood Flooring provides support for your do-it-yourself project, including expert advice and free equipment rental. Contractors can bring their customers to Dan Higgins Wood Flooring showrooms in Medford and Sicklerville. Special discounts are available for contractors and builders. They offer free local job site delivery, and installation services are also available. Check out their website at danhiggins.com or call Dan Higgins Wood Flooring at 609-953-7766.
Fall is around the corner, and what a fantastic time with football after church on Sundays and the incredible spectrum of leaves showing off a vibrant display of colors. It's also a perfect time of year to be aware of what your trees are telling you. Did you know that trees can talk to you? Example, if a tree is showing poor growth, it is making you aware that it has impacted soils, or it could be suffering from improper planting techniques. Tree Awareness in Swedesboro, New Jersey has a 5-point health and wellness check that can accurately diagnose exactly what your tree is telling you. In this case, it would remedy the situation with root mulching, root invigoration, root pruning, or perhaps even root crown excavation. There's only one way to know for sure what your tree is making you aware of. Call the Tree Awareness Experts at 888-429-TREE. That's 888-429-8733, and check them out at treeawareness.com for the life of your trees.
Hey guys, it's Rob Motti. I want to tell you about a can't-miss event that's coming up in a few months. I did it last fall. It's called Goliathon, and it's a Ninja Warrior-type obstacle run that's tiered for all skill levels, which means you can run the event as a family or as a group of friends, even if you're at different fitness levels. The course is about 4 miles long with 12 tiered obstacles that are unique, challenging, and a load of fun. And the best part is, all proceeds fund clean water projects in developing countries. The next Goliathon event is October 21st in Mullica Hill, New Jersey. Entry price increases are coming soon, so sign up today. Go to goliathon.com for details.
And welcome back to Faith on a Field Show, presented by Eastern University on 610 Sports ESPN Radio. I'm Rob Motti with Doug Horton and Pastor Kyle Horner. And guys, we are in week 26 of Faith on the Field
Show.
And if you've missed any of
half
our previous episodes, we are right there, halfway point.
How about it?
You can catch up on iTunes, where we have updated our iTunes pictures now.
We've updated
all our social media. We got nice new pictures of ourselves, and Pastor Kyle is making us look small and all.
Is that a nice way of saying that I look fat? Thanks.
No. you just tower over us.
Yes.
You're six foot seven, and I'm like, 5 foot ten with hair. So
I'll take your foot out of your mouth. That's all right. Call them out.
If you missed any of the previous episodes, though, you can download and subscribe on iTunes. We've had Clayton Kershaw, Carson Wentz, Mike Schmidt, Adam Wainwright, Coach Dabo Sweeney, Deshaun Watson, who puts up five touchdowns.
Every week, so many
other athletes. We've also had Pastor Levi Lusco on the show as well. You could also follow us online at faithonthefieldshow.com and like our Facebook page also. I want to mention a couple comments that we're getting on Facebook Live. Remy says Jesus knew that women run the world.
Yes. Go ahead, Beyonce.
Yes, he absolutely did. Pastor Kyle's wife, Danielle, checks in. Danielle is a loyal listener to the show. And, thanks, Danielle. She says it's wonderful that I seed that into my kids. So I appreciate that. But joining us now is Dr. Susanna McMonagle. She is the Assistant Professor of Communication Studies at Eastern University, our program sponsor. And can I call you Doc? Doctor?
Sure.
I always wanted, like to say Doc. So in 2012, you wrote a paper on women, on the news framing of women's sports and the 2012 London Olympic Games. So tell us which themes emerged from that data you studied.
Okay, sure. So I wrote a paper about how women were framed. I looked at the USA Today, some of our biggest newspapers. And so I looked at how women were framed in the Olympics. And so I came up with a couple themes. And the first was, is it working?
Yeah, it's right in front.
Okay. The first was, because of course it's sports coverage, so they're talking about how well women are doing at the Olympics. And 2012 was actually the first year that women, the American women, brought home more gold medals or medals in general than the men.
Wow! So 2012 was the first
2012.
Year.
2012,
yeah. All the Olympics. Wow. 2012 was the first time that happened.
And they actually did it again in 2016. Wow.
Way to go, recently. Ladies!
Yeah,
yes,
that's right.
I know.
Dominating.
Exactly. So that was the first frame I looked at, but the second frame really looked at how. A lot of the journalists, when they talked about these female athletes, they talked about them really in their qualities of femaleness. So they would talk about their nail polish color. They would talk about some water polo debacles, you know, where the women are thrashing underwater. We have these awesome underwater cameras now, but you know that might not be so great when that's happening. They talked about there's a boxer from India. Mm-hmm. And every time they mentioned her name, they said her name followed by the comment, a mother of twins.
Wow.
Every single time.
Wow.
So, which is really...
They mention her name and say mother of twins.
Every
My wife
time.
Is a mother of twins,
oh,
but we don't
go.
Mention that every time
exactly.
we say her name.
Exactly. And
wow.
this person, she was a successful boxer. Mm-hmm. And so, but they felt the need to say that in all the coverage. There was a shooter, kind of a skeet shooter. She was pregnant. So the reporters kept asking her about her pregnancy and if she could feel the baby kicking while she's shooting. You know, and these are, of course, questions that we don't tend to ask the male athletes.
No, can you imagine if they ask, is it Antonio Cromartie? You know what? I don't want to mess it up. There's one player who's got like 12 kids from like 11 women. I wonder if every time, can you imagine if every time
right.
we say,
right.
By the way, the father of 12 children. But go ahead.
No, good point. And so the last one was about trailblazing. So in 2012, it was actually the 40-year anniversary of Title IX,
yes.
which brought about a lot of equality in education programs for women athletes and female women's programs. And so they talked about there was a couple countries like Saudi Arabia and Qatar who never brought women to the Olympics before. And so that was the first year they brought...
In 16 or 12?
In 2012.
12.
It was the first time that they ever brought female athletes.
Wow.
And one of the countries still with the culture there today, I believe it was Saudi Arabia, the women weren't even allowed to walk with their male counterparts.
Now they can drive, right?
Opening, well
they're starting
as of about last week, right? But they weren't even allowed to walk with their male counterparts, so they walked a couple feet behind them. But still, you know, that was sort of touted as a good thing because they at least brought female athletes. So the paper was really interesting because we see these characterizations that we don't see with male athletes. And of course, 2012, the women were talked about a lot because they did so well. They fared so well. They won a lot of medals. The gymnast, Gabby Douglas, she was the first African-American gymnast to win the all-around gold and the team gold. So there was a lot of good news happening. But still, the way we talk about female athletes is still different.
I think there's another article that you wrote titled "The Sportiest Catwalk on Earth: How Sport and Fashion Collide on the Olympic Stage." Right, and we were talking a little bit about this earlier about the branding aspect of how women are branding, kind of compared to men, and how that differs even with the Winter Olympics too.
Exactly. So, you know, we see a lot of the summer athletes, so it has a lot to do with looks. It has a lot to do particularly for the females. And we see the difference between the summer and the winter athletes. The summer athletes, it's hot out. They are wearing a lot less clothing.
Yes.
You can see their faces. And the winter sports, you know, if you think about hockey or we just had Gigi on, the skiers, we never see their faces. So somebody like Lindsey Vonn, who has a lot of sponsorships and is really popular, when she's actually competing in the Olympic Games, you don't see much of her at all.
That's right.
And so there's a big difference.
As opposed to the beach volleyball players.
Exactly.
Because what are the ratings for beach volleyball, right?
In high.
Right? I would imagine that the ratings for that are high.
We were talking about that before, too, the gymnastics mm-hmm. and the beach volleyball.
Right.
Right? And so one of the questions was, you know, because my daughters love watching gymnastics. I think my wife, when she talks about herself being a kid and always doing gymnastics in the yard or in the living room, and my kids love that Gabby Douglas and going back to all those gymnastics that have been very successful, gymnasts have been very successful. But you think about beach volleyball, I don't necessarily know that my kids are watching that, but it could be more males watching beach volleyball.
Oh, of course.
You know, and when you're looking at the ratings that are going up. So it's just a little bit of a different comparison.
Right.
And they're watching it because they're pervs. Bottom line,
there you go.
Not appreciating the sport for what it should be. It should be appreciated because it's obviously a very highly skilled competitive sport.
I mean, we were talking about this before the show a little bit, but the beach volleyball. The girls it's the same game as the guys' volleyball. They can just pound the ball. They're amazing. It's the same type of game. So if you love beach volleyball, you'll love either side of that. Where maybe basketball is a little bit different. Women's basketball and men's basketball, it's a different game. You have to learn to appreciate both. You can learn to appreciate both games.
Sure.
And I love the very fact that what the Olympics has done, Doc, what you've brought to the forefront, is that it actually has brought much more exposure to the wide arena of different athletic opportunities for women that haven't always been there. There are many more Olympic sports for women today in today's Olympics than there ever were in the past. Thus, younger female athletes are being exposed to more opportunities.
Right. And like I said, Title IX is 45 years old. So my whole life, I've grown up with these kind of policies in place and played sports from a very young age. And I would say most people in my generation had those opportunities, too.
Now, to go back to our original theme tonight,
yes.
What we came on and what sparked our conversation and bringing it's all about girl power, right?
It's all about
women power.
Great.
And one of the shooting text messages to the guys, one of the titles that absolutely was washed completely off the board was Ladies' Night. We weren't going to go with that as a theme. We went with More Than Rubies. It was a whole lot.
Still tried to get
a whole lot better than Ladies' Night.
We didn't want to
use that line. I didn't like it either. As soon as I texted it to you, I'm like, no, that's terrible. And then Remy's like, that's terrible too. But Cam Newton's comment to the female reporter, and we spoke about it a little bit earlier, and we asked Gigi about it. From your perspective, how did you view that?
You know, my first reaction really was a little bit of shock. It is 2017. Women have worked in sports journalism for a very long time. We have lots of great sports journalism college programs that are filled with women who want to work in that industry. And the fact that Cam Newton, you know, he's seen these women week after week in his, you know, asking him questions in the media room and that sort of thing. So it was shock. And of course, it was disappointing because you always think each year we're going to make the situation a little bit better. And then we have things like this that happened, and they remind you that we're not really where we need to be. But of course, he did apologize, and I felt like his apology was sincere for the most part. You know, he mentioned he does have daughters, and so I think when his daughters get older, he might really sort of begin to see some of these cultural things playing out. Mm-hmm. And so hopefully, I don't know, hopefully that changes him down the road. Hopefully this whole situation has made him think a little bit more. You know, we have females who work in the front office. We have females who work on these NFL
there's a female
communication
coach.
Team. Right.
Yeah. There's referees. There's athletic trainers. Yeah. I mean, they're all over.
Now, yep. And we talked about this a little bit earlier, and it's not trying to create any excuses for Cam, but I know this as a guy who's covered sports for 19 years now. A lot of athletes don't look at any male or female, don't have respect for reporters' questions sometimes, because some of the questions are so asinine that it absolutely lets the athlete know this person, male or female, has never played the sport before. Right. I've never played it at their level, but sometimes I hear my colleagues ask a question and I'm thinking in my head, like, dude, if you ever swung a bat in your life, you wouldn't ask something that moronic. So I can understand athletes' frustrations with some of the questions. That is in no way meant to justify what Cam Newton said, though.
No, but I think he's just taking that frustration that maybe he feels all the time, and then
right.
he's saying, you're going to ask me about routes. When, you mm-hmm. know, you go back to Gigi, and she said, I have a respect for this, because looking, you know, they're off the right foot, they're off the left foot, they're covering inside, they're covering outside, and you can break down the tape. It doesn't take a, you know, a pro athlete
right.
to do that.
Yeah.
But, you know, it was the wrong choice. It was the wrong philosophy. It was the wrong choice of words at that point. And even to single her out at that point, you know, he could have said that about any person in the room probably.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
It's exactly, and that's how I looked at it. I was like, I think he meant to say that to anyone in the room. Like, come on, guys, you're asking me about routes. He should have never used the word
female. But
he'll
never call out, I mean, as a media member.
There are guys who have called out other media guys. And I've seen it. And I actually respect when a player will say to someone, like, well, have you ever done this? Or do you know what, you know, did you watch the tape?
Yeah.
Or when you say...
I think there's a difference. Have you actually watched the tape?
Well, like, when you, for example, when you're saying someone blew coverage, right?
Yeah.
Whenever you're a cornerback or safety, well, sometimes you don't know what the assignment was, whose responsibility it was, who was supposed to pick up the blitz and whose package and who was supposed to do what. And then we're quick to blame the one guy who say, all right, he blew the coverage, but really he was covering for his teammate who missed an assignment. And now he looks like he got burnt like toast, but it wasn't really his role on that particular play.
But in some cases, the media is just trying to egg them into making a decision where they're going to throw their teammate under a bus, too.
Real quick, since we have you here and we only have about 1 minute to go, what are your thoughts about the female sideline reporter? Do you think that the networks kind of make that look like, well, this is the only, because now we see ESPN has an analyst, a female analyst. But do you think that the role of the sideline reporter, and more often than not it's a female, does that set back anything?
You know, it goes both ways. It's great that they're there. It's great that they're part of the team. But what would be better is just to have females in all the roles. And so sometimes a sideline reporter is a female, but sometimes it's okay if it's not. And if the female plays a different role on that kind of sports team.
Well, awesome. Thank you so much. That is Dr. Susanna McMonagle from Eastern University. I want to thank all of our sponsors, especially Eastern University, Tree Awareness, Rick Santella from Morgan Stanley, Dan Higgins, Wood Flooring, Pastor Scott Foreman for updating all of our technology and keeping it looking good, and our wives, Remy, who wants to be called Superwoman, Chris, who is...
It's Wonder Woman, though.
She's Wonder Woman,
yeah,
or it's Chris Wonder Woman? And Danielle, they're all incredible. Our producer, Ryan Lennox, back there, our business development executive, Julia Livesey, thank you so much. We'll be back next week on Monday. The following week, because of Monday Night Football, we will be on Tuesday night because the Eagles are playing the Redskins.